Well, you've got the handout, and we were just talking about how to study the passages or study the Bible for ourselves. And what we've done is we spent weeks doing the biblical aspect of all this, and now we're trying to get to the practical aspect. This is going to be a little bit harder. This is where you're going to have to actually participate, all of us, because we're going to go to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at the context. We're going to look at one verse, and then we're going to do the observation, interpretation, application of this so we can show each other how do we study a passage for ourselves. Now, I want you to know that it is not an easy thing to do. It takes concentration. It takes work. And once we teach you the tools and things, you'll have tools. You'll have things that you do to be able to study. So this morning, we're just going to kind of get into it. If you, let me just pull this up. I think the first slide is, if you've noticed that it had the introduction, it had two things. The two things that we're going to get a method of interpretation, and we're going to look at several passages. Now, you should have this already on your sheet. If you got the sheet for the first time today, you can fill this out as quickly if you can. If not, you'll catch it up some other time. Then the next part is the method, and there's three things there. And if you notice that I've got the three things there, they are observation, interpretation, and application. What we did is I think we just listed the three things here, and then on the top of the next page where it says observation, interpretation, and application, we gave a lot more details. But notice what it says. Observation is what does it say? You look at the passage. You're not trying to interpret. You're just trying to see what's there. What does it say? Interpretation, what does it mean? You're actually trying to interpret. What does this mean? What's it about? And then the third part is application. What does it mean to me? How do we take truths? What do we see from this passage or a passage that we can then apply in our lives? Now, that's the plan. That's what we're going to do. Observation, interpretation, application. We said this, if you remember, and the next thing on down is we raised questions. The next thing is observation. And we ask questions anytime we come to a passage, whether it's going to be one verse, one section, one anything, you ask who, what, where, when, why, how. Now, it's not as simple as it looks, because sometimes we say, who is the who or the what or all that, and before you know it, there's a lot more in there than you thought was in there. And it takes some concentration. So we're going to do that this morning. Who, what, where, when, why, and how. The second aspect of is interpretation, and we look at two things. We look at the verbs, and we look at what we call the connectives. And the verbs, we look at the tense and the voice. You see, what is it present tense, future tense, past tense? Is it active? Is it passive? I know some people say, I don't even know what you're talking about, active or passive. I don't know what a participle is or an infinitive. Well, we may not know all that, but at least you can look at a verb and say, is this a present tense? Is it a future tense? Is it a command? Is it a question? What is it? Because you've got to be able to know that. Because if the passage says, stop letting sin reign in your mortal body, you have to understand that's a command to you. Okay, so it's important to be able to look at the verbs, the connectives. Do I have a slide that has the different connectives on it? Here are the different connectives. Here are some famous words that you look for in a passage to help you figure out what it's talking about. So this is under interpretation, of course. The but gives you a contradiction, contraction. For is an explanation. As is a manner. That or in order, that gives you a purpose result. Therefore is a summary. If is conditional, a possibility. Because gives you the reason. So as you see these words, as you study passages, they're going to tell you things, and it's important. Then there's the third part, which is called the keywords. I think this is actually where we stopped last time. And when you see keywords, the question is that what words stand out that you need to know? Now, we're talking interpretation there. What does this word mean? Why is it a key? I mean, if you're studying a passage and it says something, you may say that word stands out. To another person studying the passage, that might not be a key word to them. In other words, as I'm studying something, I may say, ooh, that's a key word to me. I need to know that word. You may say, that's not a key word to me. You'd be wrong, of course, but you could say that. But anyway, the bottom line is that you determine what you say is something that's a key thing, something that stands out. We'll see them as we go through it. That's key. Then the third part is application. And that's what you do is say, what does it mean to me? An application is, how can I take these truths, this interpretation, and apply it in my life? And two things. Notice I've got under application two keys. It has one and two in here, but it's really A and B. And that is always base applications on the interpretation. That means you can't have an application from a passage that it doesn't talk about that. You know, if Paul says we need to love one another, and then you make the application, we must witness to each other. That passage doesn't talk about witnessing there. It talks about loving. So make sure your applications come from your interpretation. Because I've seen people read a verse, tell what it means, and then make an application that has nothing to do with that passage. Your applications must be based off your interpretations. And then the second thing is make the application personable. Personal. Don't just say people ought to do this. No, say I should do this. Or even make it more personal in some way. Okay. Now that's observation, interpretation, application. Observation, what does it mean? What does it say? And I ask who, what, where, when, why, how? Interpretation, what does it mean? I look at verbs, I look at keywords, I look at connectives, I look at all that. And then application is, what does it mean to me? How can I apply this in my life based on the interpretation? So that's the key. Well, let's take a passage. We're going to look at Acts chapter 1. If you've ever had the 4:12, in one of the 4:12 lessons, and when we teach how to do Bible study methods, we actually use this verse, this little passage. So it may not be new to you, but if it is, and for a lot of people it will be, this will be fun. We're going to look at it. Now, one of the things that we say whenever you study a passage, and we're going to do something we are not supposed to do, we're just going to limit this to looking at one verse. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But even then, we have to see the context, right? You can't ever study anything without studying its context. It would be very rare that you only studied one verse. But because of time and because of all of our great minds and everything together, we're just going to look at one verse this morning. And if we don't get through, we'll continue next time. But the verse is going to be Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Notice the verse. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. Okay? That's all in the context of at least Acts 1, 1 through 11. And then as you continue on in verses 12, 13, and 14, there's other things there as well. But let me give you an idea. If you start the book of Acts, the writer is Luke, and you'd have done some background studies. You got ready to study the book of Acts, and you would find out that Luke wrote this. He also wrote Luke and Acts. They actually were together. They were actually probably put on the same scroll when they were originally written. And so when he writes this, he's writing to a guy named Theophilus, and he talks about all that Jesus began to do and teach until he was taken up into heaven and all these kind of things. And he talks about how he talked to them and taught them. And then it says he gathered them together and he told them something, something, something. Then you get to verse 6. It says, so when they had come together, they were asking him, this is the disciples, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? That's a good question. And in the flow, he says, it's not for you to know the times, the epochs, which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but, here's our verse, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the most part of the earth. And after he had said these things, right after he said this, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And they were gazing in the sky, and while he was going, behold, two men in white stood right beside him, and they said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up in the sky? This Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come just in the way as you have watched him go into heaven. That's where we'll stop right there as far as the context. We have to get down a little further as well. Now, you see the flow? Luke writes a letter to a man named Theophilus, and he wants to tell Theophilus about what happened after Jesus did his ministry. The book of Acts is actually telling how Jesus left a commission to his men, and then he ascended into heaven, and the whole rest of the book of Acts is what these men did. That's why it's called Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, what they did. So in the context, we've got Jesus and his men, and they're going to be talking, and we're going to look at the verse 8. That's how we're going to start. Now, what's the first thing you do when you study a passage? What's the first thing you do? Okay, read it. We're going to read it. We just did that. What's the first thing you do after that? What's the three things you do? Observation, interpretation, application. What's the first thing we're going to do? Observation. And what does observation tell us? What does it say. That means all we're going to do is look at it. We're going to see everything that's there. What are the questions that we ask when we get to this passage? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? Now, I said last time that before I left on vacation that sometimes you may not can find the answers to every one of those questions. You may not can find a why or a how. But in most things, you're going to be able to find a who, a what, a why, a who, what, and a where, and a when almost every time. So let's start. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're only going to start with the verse 8. And the first thing we're going to look at is who. Who's the who in the passage? Okay? Somebody, you don't have to read it out loud, but we've just read it. Somebody tell me who is the who. Okay, who's you? Who? Okay, now, I heard two things. Some people said it's the disciples, and some people said it's the what? Apostles. Which is it? And does it matter? And so as you are looking at this passage, you might write out on your study notes as you're studying this yourself, you might say, okay, I need to look up and see if there's a difference between being a disciple and being an apostle. Okay, that's for interpretation. In observation, you said disciples and some said apostles. It just says you. How are we going to find out who it is? What if you hadn't read anything and all it says is you? How are you going to find it? You go back to verse 7. It's not for you. You go back to verse 6. So they had come together with him. Who is they? You go back to verse 5. And in verse 4, he gathers them together. You say, who is this? You go back to verse 3. He presented himself alive. You go back to verse 2. He had given orders to the what? What? Apostles. So technically in this verse, who is the who? The apostles. Now we'll come back because we could say disciples. And we'll say, who is disciples? Is there a difference between being a disciple and being an apostle? That might be something you want to put down as a key word or something. Okay? Any other who? What believers? How do you know all believers? I mean, where does it say all believers? And where does it say believers? We're looking at verse 8. But you will receive power. Anybody else in this? Anybody? Any other who? Huh? Holy, okay, yeah, there we got number 2. We got the Holy Spirit, right? Who's the Holy Spirit? We say that's God. Now, we're not going to interpret right this second. We're just writing down. So we got the apostles and who? Holy Spirit. Anybody else? It's exactly right. So Jesus is there, obviously, right? Because he's the one talking. But you go back to verse 6. So they had come together. They were asking him. And we know he's the Lord, because the Lord at this time you're restoring. He said, not for them, but you. So it's Jesus. So we got Jesus and the apostles and the Holy Spirit, right? Anybody else? Told you this was harder. Okay, so it says, but you shall be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. When he says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, what does he mean? Are they going to go to the wall of Jerusalem and go, let me tell you about Jesus? No, they're talking about who? The people in Jerusalem and the people in Judea and Samaria and the people where? Throughout the whole rest of the world. So we've got Jesus, the apostles, the Holy Spirit, and people who live in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole world. Now, if you notice something just as you're observing, you notice that Jerusalem is what? It's a what? It's a city. Judea and Samaria is what? They're not cities. They're provinces. They're places. Okay? So you might say, I'm going to write that down over by the side. Okay? So who is the who of the passage? The apostles? Holy Spirit, Jesus, and people who live in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the whole rest of the world. That's our who. Okay? Are you interpreting? I don't know. I mean, you got that's what you're doing. You're observing. You're saying, okay, what am I seeing here? Because just right now, we're only getting who's, right? Okay, what's the second thing we look at? What? Okay, what are they talking about? What's going on here? That's exactly right. The what did you see right off is what they're going to receive power. Any other what in there? There you go. Receive power to do what? To witness. Okay, I personally think that's the what of the passage, of the verse. He's telling them they're going to receive power to witness. Is that correct? Anybody see anything else on a what? Anybody feel good so far about our who and our what? What's next? Where? Where are they? Can you find where they are in verse 8? In fact, if you go to verse 7, can you find where they are? Can you find where they are in verse 6? Because it just said they came together. Where? You go back to verse 4, gathering them together. You go back to verse 3, it doesn't tell you. Back to verse 2, where in the world are these people? How you going to know? You know verse 9 says after he said this, he ascended into heaven, he's gone. In fact, verse 11 says this same Jesus who was taken up for you will come in just the same way as you've watched him go into heaven. Where are they? Verse 12, what does it tell us? Okay, so where is the where of this passage? Not Jerusalem. No, no, no. Where is it? It's the Mount of Olives. Now, you may, and we may get technical and say, is Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives? They're side by side, basically. If you know from history, and this is where you get books, and you look at stuff, and you find that there's Jerusalem built on the top of Mount Moriah or Mount Zion, and then there's the Kidron Valley coming out the eastern gate, coming down the Kidron Valley, and then you go up to a mountain right across from Jerusalem, and that mountain's called the Mount of Olives. They've been standing on this mountain. Now, if they were standing on this mountain, all they had to do was look west, and what do they see? They see the temple. They see Jerusalem. They see the big city. They've come out, walked up, and they're standing on the Mount of Olives. And so we know the where. They were standing on the mountain. So you got Jesus and the apostles talking about the Holy Spirit, talking about witnessing and getting the power, and they're doing this on top of the Mount of Olives, right? Any other where in the passage? Any other where? I can't hear. I'm old. Yeah, where? Where are? Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. That's where. So it's not only the where they are at that exact moment, but that passage also gives us some more wheres. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and most parts of the earth. So what do we got so far? We got Jesus is with his disciples, with his apostles. That's how we want to call it now. He's with his apostles. They're standing on the Mount of Olives, and they're talking about power to witness, and he's talking about going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. Does that sound okay so far? That's who, what, where, what's next? When? When is this? Can you tell anything about it? Well, there's a when that looks like a sort of a future when, right? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. So he's going to be talking about something in the future. Okay, so if you want to write down future, he is talking about some events in the future. Just by observing it, what events in the future is he talking about? Receiving the power of the Holy Spirit to do what? To witness. Okay, that's one. Is there, what about when, as far as when this takes place? How you know that? Okay, go back to verse 3. It says, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of what? 40 days and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. So after Jesus died and rose again, how many days did he walk on the earth? 40 days. Now, the question is, when is this in that 40-day time period? It's what? It's the last day. It's the what day? 40th. How do we know it's the 40th day? Because as soon as he gets through telling us, what happens to him? You know, they're doing this. And the angels say, what are y'all doing looking up there? Would you get back over to Jerusalem and do what he told you to do? What would you have done? We'd all be just like us. We'd probably just stayed there. Because the angel said, he's coming back. By the way, does he come back there? There's two comings of Christ to the earth, right? First coming, he came. Where did he come the first time? The first time that he came. He came to Bethlehem. Isn't that right? When he was born in Bethlehem? The second time he comes to the earth, he's coming where? To the Mount of Olives. In between, he's coming in the clouds to take us out. That's called the rapture. But the second coming of Christ, he's coming right back to the Mount of Olives. And guess what happens when he comes back to the Mount of Olives? It splits in two. Pew! And water flows into the Dead Sea, and it becomes alive. It's going to happen. You can write it down. Well, it's already written down. But anyway, you can write it down. Okay, so what do we got so far? Yes.
So we're going to see it.
I don't know if you'll see it or not, Hazel. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if we'll see that because... No, I'm just playing. Yeah, if we're coming with him and he'll come to the earth. What is that, the bell? How could that be the bell?
I don't know.
We got to at least get through who, what, where, when, why, how. Okay? Okay, you're coming with him. You'll get to see it. Yes. Okay. All right, we got who, what, where, when, right? We got Jesus on the 40th day, right before he ascends into heaven, talking with his apostles on top of the Mount of Olives. They're talking about getting the power to witness. They're talking about that you're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to talk, and that's going to be in a future event. What's the next one? Why? Is there a why in there? Why is all this happening? Why is he saying, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts? Why is he telling them that? Okay, but why? Why is he telling them that? Huh? He is leaving. If you remember, notice verse 6. So when they come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? You know what they're asking him? Are you going to be the king? Are you setting up the kingdom? Is this it? And so he's answering their question. The why is he's answering their question, basically, of telling them why it's not the kingdom but the commission. Okay? And let's get the how, and then we'll put it all together before the second bell rings. Anyhow? Power. That's what I put down when I studied it. All this happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there being the witnesses, that part. So, let's summarize. What have we seen? Because observation is what? What does it say? We ask who, what, where, when, why, how. What do we see? We see Jesus and his apostles on top of the Mount of Olives on the 40th day before Jesus ascends into heaven. They've asked him the question about, is it time for the kingdom? But he says, no, it's not time for the kingdom right now. I've got something else for you to do. You're going to be witnesses for me. And you're going to start in Jerusalem, and it will go to Judea, Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth. Does that pretty much put together the observation of the passage? Y'all feel pretty good about it? Is there some other stuff we want to put in there? Anything else? I mean, we're in this together, right? I mean, look at all the minds we got. Surely we can all look at it and say, what does it say? Hazel? No, the who was Jesus, the apostles, the Holy Spirit, and people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and Rome was part of the earth. We can't assume they're believers because some of those people may become believers, but what we're going to find out, he's going to be witnesses to the people in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, most part of the earth. So obviously, if you're witnessing to them, they're probably not believers at that point when they go to them. What else? Okay, now that's an observation. We have not interpreted the passage. We've said, here's what we think we see as we look at the passage. Did you notice we could not answer who, what, where, when, why, how by looking at the one verse? We had to get the context. Okay, what's the next thing that we do after observation? Now we sit down and say, now I'm going to find out what this passage means. Okay? And the three things that we do in interpretation is what? We look at the what? The verbs. We look at the what? Connectives. And we look at the key words. Let me ask you a question. This is just because of lack of time. let's just do this for a second. Somebody tell me in verse 8 what you consider key words. What would be key words for you that you're going to go into more detail and try to figure out what they mean or what the true meaning is or how it can fit? What would be some words? Power. I think power is a great word. Okay, witnesses. That would be good because you're going to find out what a witness is. By the way, you know what the Greek word for witness is? It's martos. We get the word martyr from it. Okay, what else? Any other key words? Huh?
It says in all or go into all the world.
Well, my Bible doesn't use have the word go. Mine says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. You shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Yeah, mine doesn't say go. It just says you receive power.
You can interpret that.
Okay, but it's good to, if you're going to say it's a key word, it probably ought to be in the passage. Okay.
Okay,
well then my first question might be, okay, witness.
You gotta go there. He's shutting you off.
Oh, man. Did somebody say Holy Spirit? Let me ask you something. Is there a word just for spirit? There is. And then there's the word Holy Spirit, right? And then there is the Holy Spirit. So he didn't say, but a Holy Spirit will come upon you. He didn't say a spirit will come upon you. He said the Holy Spirit. So when you interpret, and that's a key word, you don't just say, I'm going to look up Holy Spirit. I'm going to look up the Holy Spirit. I'm going to see what this is all meaning. Any other words? I mean, we got power. We got Holy Spirit. We've got the verbs, of course, we're going to look at. Has come, shall be, that kind of thing. Will receive. What else? How about Jerusalem? How about Judea? How about Samaria? If you were Jewish at this time and the word Samaria was said to you, what would you think immediately? You'd say, I don't like Samaritans. Why don't you like Samaritans? They're half Jew, half Gentile. In fact, when the northern kingdom was taken off, they left the poorest people there and they brought in aliens, people who weren't Jewish, and they intermarried with these Jewish people and they set up a false worship system in Samaria. And so that's why the Samaritans are not the most well-liked people that's ever been as far as Jews were concerned. Now, Jesus loved them and we're supposed to too, and they're supposed to have loved them. So I think I would probably look up Jerusalem because that's a key place. Judea, I'd find out what that is. I'd look up Samaria. And so there's a bunch of key words in there that we get. Well, we already got the second bill? We did, didn't we? Oh, we got to stop. Okay, here's what we do. Here's your homework, okay? Homework is look at the verbs. There are three of them. Will receive, has come, and you shall be. Those three verbs in that passage. And then look for the connectives. See how many there are. And look for the key words. So when we come back next week, we'll take up right where we are. And we'll start going through it. And we're going to interpret this passage. And when we get through the end of that, we say, here's what this passage means. When we get through with that, then we're going to try to figure out how we can apply from that. Okay? Okay, I'm sorry I went long. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us as we continue to study. Help us to be excited, Lord, about digging your word to see how it fits. Lord, thank you that already we see in this passage that Jesus met with his apostles on top of the Mount of Olives on the 40th day, telling them it was not time for the kingdom, but it was time to be his witnesses as they would go in the future after the Holy Spirit came. To go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the whole rest of the world. Help us, Lord, as we now try to interpret all that next time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.